Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
From VOA Learning English, this is As It Is. I'm Mario Ritter.
And I'm Anna Mateo. Today's program is all about politics. Later in the show, I will bring you a story about how a candidate's voice may affect if they win or lose an election.
But first, we talk about debates. A televised debate is an important way for voters to learn about a candidate's opinions on many issues.
Jonathan Evans tells us more.
Much attention has been paid to the U.S. presidential elections that are still 14 months away. The Republican Party has held two televised debates that were watched by millions of people. They have been loud, colorful, and intense. In the most recent debate, 11 candidates crowded a stage in California. When they weren't critical of the Democrats, they insulted each other. The race on the Democratic Party side has been calmer. Leading candidate Hillary Clinton has been holding small, private events to meet with citizens and donors. Her closest competitor, Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont, has been drawing large crowds across the country. But the Democrats have not held any debate so far. While Mr. Sanders talks with his audiences about issues, he has not attracted as much media coverage as Mr. Trump and Ms. Clinton. Some critics say it is because he is not as charismatic as the other candidates. Much of the election discussion has reported on the personalities of the candidates. How much do those personalities impact what Americans think and how they vote? What issues are most important to Americans? The latest research from longtime polling company Gallup shows no one issue dominates Americans' perception at the moment. Unlike previous elections, the 2016 presidential campaign may be fought over a variety of issues, says Gallup. However, immigration, economy, and government remain the top U.S. issues, the company says. Gallup notes that recent political talk may influence voters' answers. Donald Trump's presidential campaign has focused on immigration. Gallup says Americans who name immigration as a top problem may reflect the emphasis it has received by Mr. Trump. In June, before immigration became a campaign theme, the Pew Research Center asked Americans about immigration. Pew found that 72% of Americans said undocumented immigrants in the U.S. should be allowed to stay. Americans are as concerned about the economy and jobs, according to other polling and research companies. Pew reports that 56% of those polled say they cannot keep up with family expenses. Nearly half say they have lost a job, cannot pay for health care, or have been unable to pay bills. The public's views of the national economy remains bleak, Pew said in a September 4th report. Voters continued to report their unhappiness with government, according to Gallup. 17% of those polled, that's 4% higher than last month, reported dissatisfaction about Congress, politicians, poor leadership, corruption, and abuse of power. Candidates like Mr. Trump and brain surgeon Ben Carson may be doing better in the polls because they do not have government experience. That might appeal to voters who are dissatisfied with government, Gallup says. I'm Jonathan Evans.
I'm Mario Ritter.
And I'm Anna Mateo. You are listening to the VOA Learning English Program as it is.
Welcome back to As It Is. We just heard how voters in the U.S. sometimes use televised debates to decide who they are going to vote for. Now, we hear another way voters are influenced to vote for a candidate, their voice. Anna brings us that story.
Experience and money for campaigning increase a politician's chances of winning an election. But so may the sound of a candidate's voice. Not only what a candidate says, but how it sounds when he or she says something. Two recent studies examined the effect of voice pitch, its highness or lowness. The studies suggest that candidates with lower voices have better chances when it comes to seeking political office. Take the 2008 presidential election, for example, between then-Senator Barack Obama and Senator John McCain. Mr. McCain is a war hero. He had served in the U.S. Senate for more than 20 years when he ran against Mr. Obama for president. At that point, Mr. Obama had represented the state of Illinois in Congress for less than 4 years. In this presidential debate, they offered their vision of the future. First, Senator McCain.
I have the ability and the knowledge and the background to make the right judgments to keep this country safe and secure.
Now, Senator Obama.
We are going to invest in issues like education. We are going to invest in issues that relate to how ordinary people are able to live out their dreams. And that is something that I'm going to be committed to as President of the United States.
Mr. Obama, the less experienced, went on to become president. One reason may have to do with the pitch of his voice, says Casey Klofsted. He teaches political science at the University of Miami in Florida. Professor Klofsted is not saying that Mr. Obama won only because he has a lower voice than McCain's. But in a study published in the journal PLOS ONE, he and other researchers suggest that voice pitch might have been an unconscious factor. The team asked 800 volunteers to listen to voices of non-politicians. The voices were changed by computer to sound higher or lower. The volunteers reportedly preferred the deeper pitch. They linked it with strength, competence, and honesty. Casey Klofsted also noted that the volunteers, in general, preferred candidates around 40 to 50 years old. At that point, he says, people's voices are at their deepest.
We are, like other animals, influenced by very subtle cues, nonverbal audio cues. That are biologically determined. And what we're trying to do in this research is to show that these subtle influences do have an impact on our decision-making and how we select our leaders.
Earlier work by Professor Klofsted and his co-researchers found that candidates with deeper voices earned more votes. I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Mario Ritter. Keep listening for Words and Their Stories and People in America. Join us again tomorrow for another As It Is.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
Now, the VOA Learning English program, Words and Their Stories. Language changes over time. Many words and expressions have changed over the centuries. But the word friend has stayed the same. It is a rare example in the English language. The meaning and usage of friend has stayed unchanged for hundreds of years. Well, that is until 2005. That was when the social website Facebook started using the word as a verb. Now you can friend someone or unfriend them, as the case may be. However, be advised, using friend as a verb only works when talking about Facebook. Of course, that may change someday too, but for now, the correct word for making friends is the verb befriend. For example, you can use a sentence like, "She befriended many Korean students while living in China." Speaking of making friends, it is easy to be friendly when things are going well for you. Maybe you have lots of money, a nice house, and a fast car. No wonder people like you. But what happens when you run into trouble? Maybe you lose your job or wreck your fast car. When you run into real trouble and need real help, you quickly learn who your real friends are. In American English, we often use the saying, "A friend in need is a friend indeed." When you are in need, the person who helps you through the difficult times is indeed a friend. There is also some debate about this expression. Some think it is not indeed, but indeed, as in a person's actions. The meaning does not change much, but the expression using indeed stresses the action of helping a friend in trouble. The words tight and thick are often used to describe really strong friendships. If you are tight with someone, you are close with them. For example, I know two people who have been friends since grade school. They are super tight. A good friend will see you through thick and thin, meaning both the good times and the bad. One of my favorite expressions to describe close friends is to say they are thick as thieves. This may sound as if the friends are living a life of crime. Not so, but the saying may have its roots in criminal circles, which gives this expression a somewhat risky feeling. Some word historians say this expression began in 17th century England, within thieving communities. Thieves would often have secret languages to communicate. Today, thick as thieves describes people who understand, trust, and defend one another. Speaking of crime, we sometimes joke that two people are partners in crime. Again, it doesn't mean they are actually criminals. This expression means that you always know what the other person is doing. Two people do not have to be together all the time to be called two peas in a pod. Peas growing inside a pod are often very similar. So people who are like peas in a pod have a lot in common. If two people are always together, they are said to be attached at the hip or joined at the hip, even if they are very different from each other. Some people get along so well, it's as if they were made to be together. A dated expression that describes this relationship is to go together like a horse and carriage. These days, Americans rarely say that. Instead, you might say they go together like milk and cookies. Or you could use other foods that go well together, like mac and cheese, salt and pepper, or peanut butter and jelly, which is very American. But if you do not get along with someone, then you are like oil and water. In other words, you don't mix. And that brings us to enemies, which will be the subject of another Words in Their Stories. I'm Anna Mateo. Try using some of these expressions about friends in the comment section.
Welcome to the VOA Special English Program, People in America. Today, Sarah Long and Bob Doty tell about the inventor Thomas Alva Edison. He had a major effect on the lives of people around the world. Thomas Edison is remembered most for the electric light, his phonograph, and his work with motion pictures.
Thomas Edison's major inventions were designed and built in the last years of the 1800s. However, most of them had their greatest effect in the 20th century. It is extremely difficult to find anyone living today who has not been affected in some way by Thomas Edison. Most people on Earth have seen some kind of motion picture or heard some kind of sound recording, and almost everyone has at least seen an electric light. These are only three of the many devices Thomas Edison invented or helped to improve. People living in this century have had easier and more enjoyable lives because of his inventions.
Thomas Alva Edison was born on February 11, 1847, in the small town of Milan, Ohio. He was the youngest of seven children. Thomas Edison was self-taught. He went to school for only 3 months. His teacher thought he could not learn because he had a mental problem. But young Tom Edison could learn. He learned from books, and he experimented. At the age of 10, he built his own chemical laboratory. He experimented with chemicals and electricity. He built a telegraph machine, and quickly learned to send and receive telegraph messages. At the time, sending electric signals over wires was the fastest method of sending information long distances. At the age of 16, he went to work as a telegraph operator. He later worked in many different places. He continued to experiment with electricity. When he was 21, he sent the United States government the documents needed to request the legal protection for his first invention. The government gave him his first patent on an electric device he called an electrographic vote recorder. It used electricity to count votes in an election.
In the summer months of 1869, the Western Union Telegraph Company asked Thomas Edison to improve a device that was used to send financial information. It was called a stock printer. Mr. Edison very quickly made great improvements in the device. The company paid him $40,000 for his effort. That was a lot of money for the time. This large amount of money permitted Mr. Edison to start his own company. He announced that the company would improve existing telegraph devices and work on new inventions. Mr. Edison told friends that his new company would invent a minor device every 10 days and produce what he called a big trick about every 6 months. He also proposed that his company would make inventions to order. He said that if someone needed a device to do some kind of work, just ask and it would be invented.
Within a few weeks, Thomas Edison and his employees were working on more than 40 different projects. They were either new inventions or would lead to improvements in other devices. Very quickly, he was asking the United States government for patents to protect more than 100 devices or inventions each year. He was an extremely busy man. But then Thomas Edison was always very busy. He almost never slept more than 4 or 5 hours a night. He usually worked 18 hours each day because he enjoyed what he was doing. He believed no one really needed much sleep. He once said that anyone could learn to go without sleep.
Thomas Edison did not enjoy talking to reporters. He thought it was a waste of time. However, he did talk to a reporter in 1917. He was 70 years old at the time and still working on new devices and inventions. The reporter asked Mr. Edison which of his many inventions he enjoyed the most. He answered quickly, "The phonograph." He said the phonograph was really the most interesting. He also said it took longer to develop a machine to reproduce sound than any other of his inventions. Thomas Edison told the reporter that he had listened to many thousands of recordings. He especially liked music by Brahms, Verdi, and Beethoven. He also liked popular music. Many of the recordings that Thomas Edison listened to in 1917 can still be enjoyed today. His invention makes it possible for people around the world to enjoy the same recorded sound.
The reporter also asked Thomas Edison, what was the hardest invention to develop? He answered quickly again, the electric light. He said that it was the most difficult and the most important. Before the electric light was invented, light was provided in most homes and buildings by oil or natural gas. Both caused many fires each year. Neither one produced much light. Mr. Edison had seen a huge and powerful electric light. He believed that a smaller electric light would be extremely useful. He and his employees began work on the electric light.
An electric light passes electricity through material called a filament or wire. The electricity makes the filament burn and produce light. Thomas Edison and his employees worked for many months to find the right material to act as the filament. Time after time, a new filament would produce light for a few moments and then burn up. At last, Mr. Edison found that a carbon fiber produced light and lasted a long time without burning up. The electric light worked. At first, people thought the electric light was extremely interesting, but had no value. Homes and businesses did not have electricity. There was no need for it. Mr. Edison started a company that provided electricity for electric lights for a small price each month. The small company grew slowly at first. Then it expanded rapidly. His company was the beginning of the electric power industry.
Thomas Edison also was responsible for the very beginnings of the movie industry. While he did not invent the idea of the motion picture, he greatly improved the process. He also invented the modern motion picture film. When motion pictures first were shown in the late 1800s, people came to see movies of almost anything. A ship, people walking on the street, new automobiles. But in time, these moving pictures were no longer interesting. In 1903, an employee of Thomas Edison's motion picture company produced a movie with a story. It was called The Great Train Robbery. It told a simple story of a group of Western criminals who steal money from a train. Later, they are killed by a group of police in a gunfight. The movie was extremely popular. The Great Train Robbery started the huge motion picture industry.
Thomas Alva Edison is remembered most for the electric light, his phonograph, and his work with motion pictures. However, he also invented several devices that greatly improved the telephone. He improved several kinds of machines called generators that produced electricity. He improved batteries that hold electricity. He worked on many different kinds of electric motors, including those for electric trains. Mr. Edison also is remembered for making changes in the invention process. He moved from the 19th century method of an individual doing the inventing to the 20th century method using a team of researchers.
In 1913, a popular magazine at the time called Thomas Edison the most useful man in America. In 1928, he received a special Medal of Honor from the Congress of the United States. Thomas Edison died on January 6, 1931. In the months before his death, he was still working very hard. He had asked the government for legal protection for his last invention. It was patent number 1093.
This special English program was written and produced by Paul Thompson. The announcers were Sarah Long and Bob Doty. I'm Mary Tillotson. Join us again next week for another People in America program on the Voice of America.